Today, the United States will hit President Biden's goal of administering 100 million doses of coronavirus vaccine. It'll happen more than a month earlier than he'd planned. More than 12% of the population is now fully vaccinated against the disease, though about 1,000 Americans are still dying of it every day.
Meanwhile, President Biden and Vice President Harris are mourning another tragedy. They're in Atlanta today to meet with Asian American community leaders and state lawmakers after Tuesday's shootings at spas there that left 8 people dead, 6 of them women of Asian descent. We're going to convene our Friday roundtable now. Kimberly Atkins is a columnist with the Boston Globe. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi there.
Also with us, Rick Klein, ABC political director. Hello, Rick.
Hey, great to be with you.
I think it's safe to say a lot of people around the country are scared, especially in Asian American communities that are calling on the government and leaders to pay more attention to the racism and sexism they have experienced. Kimberly, what do people want to hear from the president today?
Yes, I think, you know, it's moments like this when the events in and around Atlanta really strike and hit hard and are traumatic, particularly after a year where we have focused and seen so much of the racial divisions in this country at times spill out violently and fatally. And so this is a moment where a president has to step up and be a healer, to speak in a way that shows that he understands what Asian Americans are feeling, what women are feeling, women of color are feeling on a day where an attack like that happened. He seemed to step carefully yesterday, using his words, saying that the investigation was ongoing. Today, clearly, he acknowledges that he needs to do more, and that's what we'll be looking to see.
And Rick, this is the first time the president has had to confront something that every other recent president has had to confront, and that is a mass shooting. How do you think he's going to approach this?
Yeah, it's so interesting because this event was originally scheduled to be a COVID-19 event to try to get the word out about the package that was approved and what needs to be done. And it's morphed into a different kind of consoler-in-chief type of event. And in some ways, this is what Joe Biden is made of. He's very good at this. He's got a lot of experience with personal tragedy and in situations like this. I'm also interested to see Vice President Harris as the first female vice president, also the first woman of color, first woman of Asian American descent to be vice president. I feel like she has a special role in this, and it is a big moment because this is a country that's still reeling from a whole host of racially charged divisions over the last couple of years, and we've seen those highlighted by the tragic events this week.
Rick, even without this shooting, it has been a pretty tough week for the White House. They're dealing with a surge of unaccompanied kids coming to the southern border. Republicans have been trying now for days, and we've been reporting on this, trying to hammer Democrats to make it a political liability. But have we heard any ideas from Republicans about how to actually solve this problem?
You know, it's a great question. I mean, they have been heavy on the blame, but pretty light on specific recommendations. I think it's a false narrative to say this is all Biden's fault. It's also false to say that none of it has to do with the fact that we have a new administration and with new policies. But you can see how delicate these issues are and the fact that it's taken a while for this administration, even though I think it's pretty clear on its policy goals, to find out a good process. They've inherited policies and processes that were in almost the exact opposite of where they want to go. You heard the president directly this week tell would-be migrants, do not come, don't come. That's not the message necessarily that's being heard by them back home, where many of them are coming from just awful circumstances, hoping for a better life and expecting that they'll get a more compassionate treatment from President Biden. So I feel like a lot is on the White House now to start to deliver on some kind of policy prescriptions with the Secretary of Homeland Security down at the border and with a lot of lawmakers starting to call this a crisis, even if the White House has resisted that term.
Well, exactly. And Kimberly, the House is trying. What about that bill, actually two bills, that the House passed yesterday that would create a pathway for citizenship for about 4 million immigrants in the country illegally? Democrats did something interesting here. Instead of a big, comprehensive immigration reform package, they tried to see if they could get Republicans to come along by focusing on young immigrants or dreamers, and then also farm workers. What do you think about that?
Yes, I mean, history, very recent history has shown us that big comprehensive immigration reform is very difficult, if not impossible, to do on Capitol Hill, even when there is bipartisan support for some aspects of it. So Democrats are taking the approach of breaking that apart, sort of pushing forward proposals that some Republicans have shown support for in the past. It still remains to be seen if those same Republicans will show support for it now. The Congress has changed. It's more evenly divided. The Senate is as evenly divided as one can get. And so immigration remains a very, very difficult road to hoe for at any time, but particularly now. So it's not a given that any of these may see the light of day, given those partisan divisions. But Democrats are trying to be as surgical as they can.
And these bills have renewed a call among some Democrats to abolish the filibuster. President Biden was asked about that topic in an interview earlier this week. And here's what he told ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
But here's the choice. I don't think you have to eliminate the filibuster. You have to do it what it used to be when I first got to the Senate and back in the old days when you used to be around there. And that is that a filibuster, you had to stand up and command the floor.
And Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said that if Democrats do away with the filibuster, they'll regret it. Here he is speaking in the Senate earlier this week.
Nobody serving in this chamber can even begin to imagine what a completely scorched earth Senate would look like.
Rick, what do you think? First off, explain what a change to the filibuster would be and what it would mean.
Yeah, it was a major statement by the president, but it wouldn't actually change the threshold the way that he's outlined it in that interview with my colleague George Stephanopoulos. You would still need 60 votes to advance legislation, but the difference is you would force members of the minority party to speak during the entire time, have to defend themselves, explain themselves before the American people. In practice, it would slow down all other business to an effective halt. But the idea is that it would make the minority party really choose its battles wisely, and I think carefully. And I think right now the possibility of a talking filibuster over voting rights reform, when so many states are trying to limit access to the ballot box, the House has passed and the Senate is likely to pass in the next couple of weeks an expansion in voting rights. That could be where the rubber hits this road. Right now, the votes are not in the Senate to change the rules to make a 60-vote threshold, a 50-vote threshold, but it might be there to change it and clarify that you actually have to engage in the full-on Mr. Smith goes to Washington-style filibuster if you want to block something.
Versus just sit in your chair and say nothing?
Right. Well, what's happened over the years is that it's become kind of a gentleman's agreement that if the party says, hey, we want a 60-vote threshold, they give it to them to avoid having to go through the motions. This would formalize it and say, no, you know what? If you want to block something, having a minority, then you have to stand on the floor and hold it and keep on talking for hours or even days.
Kimberly, it's not just the House immigration bills that have been languishing. How big is the legislative pileup getting outside the Senate right now?
It's getting very big, and it's really important to issues, things such as voting rights and police reform and expanding protections for LGBTQ Americans. It's a lot of civil rights legislation. And getting back to the issue of the filibuster, if you look at history, the filibuster has been used time and time again to thwart civil rights legislation. So I'm not particularly sure that the minority party will not take every opportunity to stand and speak for however long it takes, even if the talking filibuster is brought back. There are other things that can be done. The Senate can change rules in other ways. It can exempt civil rights legislation, for example, from that cloture requirement, the same way they have for some presidential nominees for cabinets and for the judiciary. So there are other tools in the shed that can be used here. I think that it's very interesting that Mitch McConnell is talking about scorched earth now when many of the rules regarding cloture and the filibuster over the years have been changed under his direction.
Rick Klein, I'd mentioned at the top there that President Biden hit that 100 million vaccine goal. I think it was more than a month earlier than he had promised. What do you think about that? Is that a sign of a job well done or a case of a politician under-promising and then celebrating the victory?
We were on track to get to that number almost certainly, with or without the president's commitment. But he does deserve a degree of credit for picking up the pace, picking up the urgency, using some tools of government to make sure that this was happening as quickly as possible. I do think this was a case of under-promising and then over-delivering, but that doesn't change the fact that this is a major milestone and that we are further along right now, 50-some-odd days into the first 100 days, than we were on track to be when President Biden took office.
Yeah. All right. Rick Klein is ABC News political director. We've also been speaking with Kimberly Atkins, a columnist with the Boston Globe. Thanks to you both. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.